Here's your host of Sound Off, Brad Bennett.
Well, we are back with our number three here this afternoon on a Thursday afternoon, and we are visited again today on the phone by our friend Cheryl Fosdick, who runs CF Design. She is CF Design, and but not only does she help design architectural prepare you for a house that you want to have represent you for the rest of your life, she also is the owner proprietor of two fantastic businesses, Loom Studio, which is a unique lighting studio, and they have now taken on a line of furniture that is going to be probably unfound anywhere else in the Northland. Is that fair to say, Cheryl, that you're going to have a hard time finding that kind of furniture in any other furniture store?
Yeah. Well, this particular company is out of Portugal, and they don't as yet have a representative in the country. And so we are the first people to carry a showroom, their showroom pieces, and they're inspired by Danish modern design, and we are of the region. A lot of people in this area are very familiar with the 1950s, 1960s Danish modern pieces that are so lovely and simple, and wood with very nice upholstery, really fine lines, and it's just something that isn't made anymore, and a lot of people loved it and still love it, so we're happy to bring it to town.
Well, like you say, Cheryl, these are very simple lines of design, but they're also extremely well built. These are things that are going to last for a long, long time.
They are. You pass these things on down to your children, and they may take it to college. They may bring it back. By the time they bring it back, it's worth eight times more than when you sent it out. So these are things that become collectible. And so I have a couch, for instance, that was built in the 1950s in Denmark, and it's worth almost $12,000 now. And I bought it at a second-hand store about 30 years ago. So you just
unbelievable.
Watch it. If you watch carefully, you can get some really good deals.
Well, now, will they be able to buy this furniture out of the same Loom Studio location, basically, or is there going to expand this, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, no, we're two spaces, but we're very open to one another. And so what we're going to do is we're going to bring Loom Studio's contents across the front of our architectural studio, because we're one very long storefront here on Superior Street. And so we'll give ourselves a little bit more room, and then we will not be stocking anything, because there's so many different choices for fabrics and leathers and things like that. But we will be able to order directly from Branco Lisboa and have it shipped over. We arrange the shipping, and we can have it shipped to your house or to our office, and we can make it work for you.
So basically, somebody that wants a really good quality, that type of design furniture, they can come into your location, kind of order the fabric and everything they want, have it made special just for them and shipped right to them.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, we have we don't have every fabric going to man here on display, but what we do is we focus in on what they're interested in, whether it's leather or fabric, and then we have actual samples ordered so they can okay it before it goes to production. And so it's very hands-on, and it's very custom. And you have to be about 10 or 11 weeks of patience to be able to get a piece of furniture, but when you get it, it's going to be absolutely perfect.
Oh, that sounds absolutely wonderful. And the thing that I really like is the individuality of it, where it's really, and that's what I like about your whole design for even architectural, putting things together for somebody, is it once you put that design together, it's in their style, what they want to see, how they want to see their home created.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, you know, people, obviously they have histories, and they certainly come from cultures, and they probably have memorable objects in their past, and they probably even remember places they've been where they've been particularly comfortable, and we get to the bottom of why that was, whether it was color or texture or the shape of space or the kind of daylight. There's all sorts of reasons why people have memorable spaces, and we want to make sure that they can keep them in their hearts and in their homes.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And then when you've created that great architectural home for them, of course, they want unique lighting, and they don't want to have to, you know, go to one of the big box stores and pull something off the shelf. They want something unique that maybe they're not going to see in any other home. And now you'll be able to create not only the lighting, but the actual furniture to go along with it. Great
That's
stuff.
Absolutely right. And yeah, the lighting has become so interesting in the last few years with LED lighting, and And all that light, quite a bit of it, is reflected around inside the fixture and then comes back out of the fixture in shadowless form. So you just don't get these highlight shadows and dark areas and light areas. You get very democratically lit space. It's really fun. And plus, they're lovely to look at. So beautiful things here.
Well, you've got a lot of great things going. Cheryl Fosdick Design, CF Design, and now Loom Studios with lighting and furniture. And it can all be found right on Superior Street, kind of right across the street from the big, nice West Sheridan Hotel, is it?
Exactly. And also from the new project that's coming up out of the ground here between the new Essentia building and the Sheraton. So it's a busy area down here. Come down anytime. Plan to spend a good half an hour of relaxing time just sitting in some very nice furniture and looking at a lot of different choices for lighting. And if you want to talk, we're happy to talk to you about these things.
Fantastic. And now I'm going to give you a phone number, people. If you've been thinking about having somebody design a home for you for life, or you've been thinking about lighting, furniture, anything like that, get a hold of this number, 218-343-0983. That's 218-343-0983. I love a business that creates an idea and is unique, not just to bring in some merchandise, but to bring uniqueness to people's lives. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, thank you so much for that.
Absolutely, Brad. Have a great day. A beautiful, sunny day.
You as well. Thanks. Well, Kenny, a couple of things. The other thing that I was talking about with Minnesota Public Schools this morning, graduation rates have dropped a little bit. It's not critical or crisis-like yet, but they have dropped some. But the other story that came out of Minnesota this morning, while the public school enrollment is declined, is not as steep as it was during COVID-19, when a lot of parents were just keeping their kids out of school. It makes the fourth consecutive year that public schools have lost numerous numbers of students. Since the start of the 2019-2020 school year, before COVID hit, Minnesota public school enrollment has dropped by 2.7%, or 23,233 K-12 students. And of course, see, that kind of a drop has a snowball effect with everything. You look at the University of Minnesota, UMD. UMD has got a downturn in students, probably because of the drop in students in the high school system. The most recent statewide drop was largely driven by enrollment declines in the Minneapolis School District, which lost over 300 students, and the St. Paul School District, which also lost over 250 students. Shrinking enrollment has plagued the Minneapolis School District for at least a quarter of a century. People are moving out of there. The St. Paul School District launched a two-year, $300,000 marketing campaign to try to reverse, in other words, to try to recruit students to come to the St. Paul School District. But right now, the public schools lost roughly 1,425 K-12 students from the previous year, and it's trending downward and has been for a long time. So we've got a lot of room to go. And with Minnesota continuing to pour the amount of money into education as they have, it's not great. Are they going to have to make some big things? Now, I know we got a caller on the line, but I want to give you this, Kenny. You're going to love this. So I'm looking through a bunch of stuff on different websites this morning, and I'm seeing this political cartoon. Two Border Patrol agents, ICE agents, are standing on a high rise looking over the hordes of people flooding through the gates down in Texas. And one of the agents is saying to the other agents, "Did you hear about the four terrorists who killed 137 people in Mexico? Broke into an entertainment center, shot, killed 137 people?" The other Border Patrol agent said, "Boy, it's a good thing our borders are secure." Not.
Yeah.
It does raise the question, doesn't it? If four terrorists could kill 137 people in Moscow just by walking into an entertainment center with Kalashnikov rifles and started shooting and burning people, these millions and millions And we know that in these millions, there are terrorists. They might be small numbers, but why let any of them in? And we're letting in millions of illegals that we don't know who they are, what they're up to, from every country in the continent.
Yeah.
When, how long do we have to wait, Kenny, before we have the next 9/11?
Yeah, this is not sustainable. This will be Joe Biden's legacy. And we need a new administration, Brad, because we can't have four more years of this. We can't.
No, we really can't.
Bradley, are you aware of what your wife is saying about you while you're on doing your radio show?
Oh, boy.
I'm on the Facebook, Brad.
Oh, God.
And she made a post here.
She's
got a picture of some birds. And she said, this kind friend decided that Brad's seed, merely the best in the neighborhood, so he and his mate are building their home in our bird feeder.
Oh, she told me about that.
She's watching the birds, Brad.
Yeah, she is. Well, she's in kind of a convalescent chair, and she loves to watch the birds in the morning.
Yeah.
And I've got a beautiful bird feeder built outside our living room window. And she told me about that this morning. The damn birds come and eat every day. I've put feed out for them. Now, a couple of them said, I'm sure what happened, Kenny, is one of them turned to the other one and said, hey, this is kind of nice. We get feed every morning. Why don't we just build our nest right here and we'll have our kids right here that bring food to us?
Yeah, you're creating a socialist society right outside your window. Oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, the thing is, you're probably going to see here, Brad, is these birds are going to build a nest. You're probably going to see them tend to their eggs, and you're going to have baby birds in no time.
In our feeder.
Yeah. There you go. They look like sparrows just based on...
Yeah, they are. They're sparrows. But,
you know,
when the show is done today, I'm going to go out there and clean their nest up out of there and refill my bird feeder. They can't have them building a nest in the
feeder. You're going to get rid of their nest in their home?
Yes.
Don't, Brad. Don't do that.
Why can't
let them live?
The rest of the...
I'm feeding hundreds
of birds.
Well, let them. That's their home, Brad. They've made a home. They love you and Kathy and Nutmeg.
Oh, God. Nutmeg sits there and looks at them all day.
Their mail is coming to your house now. Don't do this.
I'll bring you up to date on it later. Anyway, Jerry from Cloquet, he wants to talk about the bridge collapse in Baltimore. Jerry, how you doing this afternoon?
Brad, I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call. I got to make a quick comment. The biggest bird watchers are senior citizens, so that's a true statement. I want to raise a question. If I can think of it, you can be sure other people think of it too. After this ship collided with the bridge in Baltimore, okay, whether there was some suspicion to terrorist involvement, we don't know yet, but whether terrorist or an accident, this has opened an other potential hijacking situation in our riverways that could be coordinated through the terrorists, and they could easily do four bridges in one day if you think about it. And what is the easiest thing to do out at sea is, it used to be easy, is hijack oil ships, and we know who does that. So saying that, I just hope that this country can be prepared for any future thoughts of taking our bridges out, especially in a high traffic overseas shipping area.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brad. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Kenny, let's talk about what Jerry was mentioning. Why is it that the authorities immediately came out and said, oh, it's not a terrorist attack? We really feel this
immediately,
was an accident.
Before the dust settled.
Yes.
I know. You've got to look into this. You've got to examine this. Brad, they said that they were going to get the black box equivalent of what's on the ship.
Right.
And they said that the data they collect and the investigation could take up to 2 years. Yet all of a sudden, the mayor and the governor are saying, well, there's no terrorists here. We know that. Really?
Yeah.
Can we take a look at this a little further, guys?
Yeah. Let's examine what we do know has happened. We do know that they had people arrested in New York who they found were overlooking the entrances to the subway systems and the tunnels in the Bronx area. And they stopped these people, asked them why they were taking pictures, why they were filming an area around the entrance to tunnels. and they found out that they were immigrants, illegal immigrants that were in this country illegally. And well, they said they just thought it was unique. That's why they wanted to take pictures. But in the one case where a couple of guys were arrested taking pictures of a electrical substation, they found out that they were part of a terrorist cell and that they were filming this energy system or energy substation with someone had questioned probably bad intentions, that they might have been looking at blowing that substation up. Well, you know, as Jerry said, you know, this may not have been terrorists. We hope it isn't. We hope it was just an accident. But by bringing all this attention to the fact that it could have been terrorists, doesn't it allow a terrorist cell to say, oh, look at here, Abdul, this guy's right. We could be sending pleasure boats crashing into, filled up with explosives and crashing into piers on bridges and taking down a bridge a day. It's not really smart to start
showing your hand. Exactly, Brad. Yep. Let's wait. Let's see what's going on here. Let's be patient.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what. Remember when the Minnesota legislative session started this year and we heard from, this individual that said that they were going to try to make Minnesota a sanctuary city? I am so glad that that might have been kicked down the road. We got to take our first break, but when we come back, I want to tell you what Minnesotans are thinking of the idea, because they've now done a survey of Minnesotans about what they think about a sanctuary state. Not good. We'll talk about it when we come back.
KDAL time, 129, 30 degrees in Duluth, sunshine galore. I just looked out the KDAL studio window, Brad, and a lot of water is going down the sidewalk and the streets, heading to the drains as this snow is beginning to melt. And, Brad, real quickly, I do want to mention our new podcast sponsor, Crosstrack, a forestry-focused dealer with locations in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, Gaylord, Michigan, and Heartland, Vermont. Crosstrack, the new sponsor of our podcast page. And that program yesterday with Let the Sawdust Fly, that's up on the podcast page right now at KDAL610.com.
Outstanding. Good stuff. Yes, and nice to have a sponsor for that page. And we are seeing more and more hits to our podcast on a regular basis. In fact, we're in the top 10 for the country with the company, with Midwest Communications. Got it over 60 or 70 stations, and we're doing very well. So I want to thank our listeners for that. So I was mentioning the fact that we had these two representatives, goofball ones, the ones that are bringing up all this nonsense. But they brought up the idea about welcoming our new people coming to this country, illegal immigrants coming. We should welcome them by having a sanctuary state. Legislators proposed in the 2024 session to make Minnesota a sanctuary state. Now, all of a sudden, though, they are finding it's facing stiff opposition, according to the March 2024 Thinking Minnesota poll. The proposal to permit or to prohibit any Minnesota entry from cooperating with federal immigration authorities is opposed by 59% of the respondents, with 49% or 47% of those saying they strongly oppose. An even greater number of Minnesotans, 69%, believe the federal government is not doing enough about the immigration and the crisis at our border. So there you go. Northlanders, nearly 7 in 10 Minnesotans say the federal government is not doing enough about the border situation. These are Minnesotans. Minnesotans tend to run kind of progressive, if you know what I mean. Well, here's what they're saying in this poll. They asked them, do you think the federal government is doing too much, not enough, or about the right amount when it comes to illegal immigration and the situation at our border? Well, 6% thought they were doing too much. 17% thought it was right about the right amount. 7% were the old, I don't know enough about it to even mention. but 69% said, you're not doing enough.
Yeah. Yeah. This is silly stuff, man. These state legislators, they're out of their realm, Brad. They're out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, I would go back to what we just had here in Duluth with this resolution for a ceasefire. You know, stay within your realm. Stay within state issues. Crime.
Yes.
Economic development. Taxes. Lowering taxes. I know Democrats like to raise them. Say, Brad, we've got CBS News coming, but we do have Corey from the range, and he's making pellets, but I think he's got something else on his mind.
He's making what?
He's making pellets.
They're making what, Corey? Pellets?
Pellets, yes.
He's a miner, Brad. He's a miner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pellets. Pellets.
I just crawled out of a mile and a half down in the mine shaft, so.
Oh, my God. I don't know that I could do that, Corey. I'm kind of claustrophobic. I don't know that I could handle that.
Brad, do you think we underground mine anymore, or is it open pit?
Oh, well, okay. So you're going around in circles around that big open pit.
Don't be
pit
fooled. He's got that light on his helmet, and he's carrying a pickaxe.
He's carrying a canary in a cage.
There you go.
Well, no, it's not a canary anymore. We just use retired Marines.
Oh, man, that was quick, Corey.
Yes,
that was quick.
Yes. A little observation.
So what's on your mind?
Yes, little observation from today. We had an officer in New York City killed, I think, last night or a day or two ago, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. Yes, yeah. I heard that. Yep.
It's pretty interesting that Joe Biden and Barack Obama are campaigning in New York City, and they expect to pull in about $25 million just in today's campaign spiel, if you want to put it. We have Donald J. Trump attending the funeral or the procession of the fallen officer. That should tell you right there a big, big difference in the two different parties.
Yeah, it certainly is. That is a very big difference, isn't it? A huge difference.
Yeah. So, and if I could rewind a little bit back, a few summers ago, and I'm trying to dust off the cobwebs, if it was probably 6, 7, 8 years ago, I don't know exactly. I sent Kenny a picture of it because I used to have a pretty unique perspective to be able to see these things. We almost had an oar boat hit the break wall. I don't know if you recall that or not.
Yeah, it did.
Remember that?
There was a boat that actually did. It's happened several times over the decades, but one was here. You can go on YouTube and look at the video.
Yeah. This one, they were able to deploy, I want to say, both anchors, if I remember correctly, and avoid hitting the break wall. A big storm came up, pushed it sideways. So I would think most ships are equipped with anchors that, yes, I understand they had lost power a couple of times for this one out in Baltimore, Maryland, but
yeah.
Something seems a little fishy with it, but in the last-ditch effort, why don't you deploy your anchors?
I guess they were on this ship in Baltimore. I'd heard they did drop anchor.
Okay. That's news to me because I had not heard that, and I had looked at it quite extensively.
Yeah, Corey, I heard the same thing, that they had that they had dropped anchor, but there was so much weight on that cargo ship that the anchors really didn't make a difference.
And I would imagine there's a big difference between an ore carrier, even fully loaded, 1,000.
Okay, Corey, I'm seeing your pictures at the text page here for the first time. Yeah, I'm probably in that picture down there. I was down there when that occurred.
Okay.
My goodness. Geez, I can't remember the name of the ship, but yeah, there you go.
Did it actually look like it was coming in sideways to the entrance?
This one in particular just didn't make the turn properly, and it's positioned right next to the bridge, facing towards it, but it's kind of facing the Geno building. I mean, it's right in front of it.
Just a little tidbit of history.
Well, accidents like that do happen. There's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, I've often thought that's got to be a pretty tricky entrance to the Duluth Harbor through that ship canal by the lift bridge.
Yeah, and the real concerning thing to me, Brad, is that even here in the Twin Ports, they have to get a pilot. They have to get a certified navigator, if you will, to get that ship in from the lake into the port. That, my understanding, was the case with this cargo ship being let out of the river into the ocean. And so you had somebody that was certified, qualified, supposed to be in control. Now, if he loses control of his system and what, then there's going to be an issue. There's so much to this that we'll find out. The National Transportation folks, they're on this. See, real quickly, Brad, I'm reading a couple of things here. We got to get to CBS News. As a matter of fact, let me save this for after CBS News. It's about your birds.
Oh, I think I've got
it's about your. I'll save this for after the CBS News. We got to go.
Okay, very good. We'll be back.
KDAL time is 1:42. Sunshine and mild temperatures. I'm not going to say it's real cold. Well, okay, it is below freezing, so it's 30 degrees, and the normal high is 41. So yeah, I guess it is cold, but we're not going to complain because it's not snowing. And Brad, see, we're going to go to the text line, okay? And I got Chris Dahlberg on hold as well from the Dahlberg Law Office. Sound off. Let Brad know that those birds have squatter's rights and he will be in trouble for kicking them out. And let's get Chris Dahlberg up to speed here. Kathy posted a picture on Facebook of some birds that have taken residence in a bird feeder that Brad put up. And Brad said, oh, I got to get rid of them. And I thought, no, let the birds live. Let them reside. Let them raise their children. Put up another bird feeder.
Well, isn't that nice? I mean, they're not just going there to feed. They're just going to sleep there.
They want to have children there, Chris. They have brought in bedding. They brought in, like, nesting stuff. And I feed the whole neighborhood's birds out of there. Every day I put new bird seed in there. Don't I have eviction authority out of my bird feeder?
I suppose you did. They were your invited guests, but at some point, you know, you could give them a 30-day notice. But you gotta hand it to these birds. I mean, rather than putting their nest up in a tree and have to fly every back and forth to feed their ones, they're going to just eat the bird feed right out of their bed. Isn't that the American way? Isn't that what they're setting
I
up
guess.
The programs?
Well, you know, you do set up. A lot of people will buy homes fairly close to their favorite restaurant or their favorite place to eat, but not right in the bird feeder.
Well, that's the first one I've ever heard. We got the problem that we've had an infestation of pigeons. Because I got this koi pond. And they're sitting on top of my garage roof because they can go and get open water in the winter.
Sure,
and so I don't know what to need. I need to get some kind of lattice or something, some netting over it to protect. It's kind of a pain. But and the dogs just look at them. So they're no help.
Oh, yeah.
You should send Nutmeg up this way.
No, Nutmeg sits in our picture window and watches them out there all day. She loves it. It's her entertainment.
It's true. So, well, hey, it's a good day in the Dahlberg Law Office. I'll tell you, it's as active in our law office as it is out on the lake with all of these iron ore boats going back and forth. They are really moving around out there.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. They're going to start getting to be very active. And you've had some active people coming in. I want to just remind people, Chris, that not only can you take care of people in Minnesota and Wisconsin? But if somebody is listening to us and they're maybe 60, 70 miles away and they say, you know, I'd like to talk to Chris about setting up a will, but I don't want to drive all the way into town, especially with the weather the way it is. You can set up a Zoom meeting on the computer for them.
You're absolutely right. The number is 218-722-5809 for Dahlberg Law Office. It's 218-722-5809. And I also invite all listeners to come down and see me. I'm going to be down at the Duluth Home Show, and I'm actually giving a presentation on Friday, I guess it's April 5th, and Saturday, April 6th, and I'm going to talk about cabin law.
Fantastic. Great time to pick up some real, you know, because a lot of people have cabins in northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, and they want to keep them in the family. But when you got 2-3 kids that want to share them with their families and everything else, you got to have a way to set up a schedule. You got to have a way to set up ownership. And Chris can help take you through that whole process as well.
Thank you much, Brad. You take care.
All right. Thank you as well. Yes, I might have to come and get some eviction authority from you for these sparrows. They get to start setting up squatters' rights in my bird
feeder. So you got to give them a 30-day notice, Brad, and hopefully in that time they will have their new birds hatched. And then you can
30 days, yeah. Nothing. Yeah. I'm going out there, pulling the top off the feeder, cleaning them out, and filling the feed.
All right. They're going to have to fly the coop.
That's it. Say, speaking of flying the coop, we got to go to Minnesota News here very quickly. But when we go to do this, I want to tell people about a story that I saw this morning. You know, Lindell, the guy that owns MyPillow, he's been the focal point of a lot of, especially from the progressive and Democratic side, a lot of hatred because he backed Trump, because he had a lot of, he's been supporter of Trump's for a long time. Well, it turned out today in the St. Paul Pioneer Press that the court has ordered the eviction Wednesday, speaking of evictions, of MyPillow from their suburban Minneapolis warehouse that it formerly used. It turned out he hasn't been using it for a while because his business has downsized some and they've moved to a different location. But he was trying to sublet the warehouse that he had formerly used as his warehouse space. The company founder and permanent election denier, Mike Lindell, said that it isn't a formality. It's because the landlord wants to take the property back. So he says, it's not that he's really kicking me out or anything. He's just formally taken the property back. Lindell denied in an interview with the Associated Press that the eviction was another sign of his money woes. He said his financial picture is actually improving after a credit crunch last year disrupted cash flow at MyPillow after the company lost one of its major advertising platforms. We're fine, he said. Financially, we're getting back in the groove. Last month, when a federal judge affirmed a $5 million arbitration award in favor of a software engineer who challenged data that Lindell said proved that China interfered in the 2020 U.S. presidential election. See, this software company sued him, and they won a $5 million arbitration case. But MyPillow owes around $217,000 to Delaware-based First Industrial LP for the rent at the facility in Shakopee. And he says, I'm not going to pay it because I subleased it to another company that bailed out on me, and I'm just going to turn the facility back over to the owner. So we'll see how that plays out. In the meantime, we got to go to Minnesota News.
KDAL time is 155er, lots of sunshine, 31 in Duluth, 30 in Eveleth, and 33 in Superior. And Brad, real quickly, we've got Twins baseball coming up at 2:30 on the pregame, 3:10 on the first pitch from Kansas City. And that means the Markley Van Camp and Robin show will be preempted. And Bradley, I've got Sally. Sally, tell Brad what you just told me. Go ahead, Sally.
Brad.
Yes. Yes.
Don't you tear down that bird's nest. Those little creatures, they work hard to build that. And that's giving joy to the world.
Sally, how am I going to feed my other birds, though, if these guys take up occupancy inside my bird feeder?
Well, you have to come up with another bird feeder or something.
Yes! Go, Sally, go!
Your wife is going to be mad, and I'm going to be mad.
All right. I'll have to take this under consult, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Sally. Jeez.
Bye.
See what kind of trouble you got me in, Kenny?
Oh, goody.
Right off the bat.
Oh, goody. Okay, Brad, the text line, don't tear down the bird nest, Brad. You gave them a home. They are home. If you don't want any more birds, just put up no more birds allowed.
Well, but see, I didn't put this up as a home. I put it up
as a feeder. Well,
they don't know. I set up a soup kitchen for birds, Kenny. That's what I have there.
you keep us posted on that. Brad, today is it's World Piano Day, and I'm going to leave us with a song from the band Alice Cooper off their school's out record called My Stars. The piano player is the producer, Bob Ezrin.
Okay, let's close it out with that.